DJ actually gave me a title, and in the title, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he said he's kind of dealing with the marriage relationship, correct?
Yeah, that's what the splits are about.
All right, so the title is Be Quick to Hear and Slow to Speak. Insert your own joke there. Okay, how many of you are married? Well, let's make it this way. How many of you are not married? Okay, this is just as much for you if you ever think you're planning on getting married, okay? You know, one of the things that it actually made me think about, though, was in the very beginning of creation, when God created woman, he created, obviously, something very special for us, right? Something that we wouldn't be alone, and praise God for that, because even if he had just kind of cloned a whole bunch of men, this world would be a lot uglier. Okay? Praise God, he actually gave us women, okay? And he actually instituted marriage. And one of the things about marriage and stuff like that is how much you can learn biblical principles from it. Okay? From the whole family dynamic and the whole family relationship, it's all about learning these biblical principles. I mean, because quite honestly, guys, we wouldn't know how to love without a wife or a woman, okay? Or even as a father to our children, to love the kind of love that God has for his children. I mean, these are all the concepts that we actually get to learn from marriage. And so when we start looking at the concept even of love before we get to our text, to think about in 1 Corinthians 13, I'll tell you what, let's turn there. We're just going to read verses 4 through 8.
You know how when you just flop your Bible down and you just let it just open up to wherever it's going to open, and you look down and you announce your topic, and I laid my Bible down and it opened right up to Joel, and it says, a day of darkness and gloominess, let all the land about tremble in the darkness. I don't know if it has anything to do with your topic.
I guess that depends on your wife.
That's a warning or not?
Believe it or not, that's probably, if we don't learn some of these biblical principles, it is a lot of gloom and doom we can look for. But in 1 Corinthians, 13, I'm in 2 Corinthians, so let me get back over. We know these verses very well, verses 4 through 8. We know the concepts of love. And I'm going to go ahead and read them for us. Just obviously through 8, verse A, or whatever they call that. And it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. All right, so we look at this, and when we start understanding this kind of love, is actually, I think, one of the only ways we can actually understand this kind of love is through a lifelong relationship, or a lengthy relationship, let's put it that way. Okay, just like with our lengthy relationship with God our Father, we can't really truly know the love of God until we're actually in that relationship with him and sustain it. Okay? We've seen a lot of people that actually, when they come to Christ, not too long after that, they quit. Okay, I know probably if we raised hands, we could probably all raise our hands to know somebody that's quit. And just like in the world today, when we look at the world, how many people get married just to turn around and get divorced? 60%, right? Isn't that what it's up to now, 60%? Okay, so you're looking at a lot of these young guys we got around with us, say, why even bother? Okay? I mean, has that ever crossed some of you young guys' minds? Why do you bother getting married if it's just going to be bad or going to end up in divorce?
And they use that 60% figure, that's of all marriages. And some people have been married 3 and 4 and 5 times. So that has a tendency of skewing the figure.
That's
definitely true. At least 50% of all marriages they do last. Now, they may not be happy marriages, but
yeah. Okay, yeah, lasting and being happy are two different things. But really, when God instituted this, in the beginning of his creation, he instituted this so we could learn, because all of these things, these principles of God, are learned things, aren't they? Okay? Because it's not natural for us. All right? It's not just natural for us to just immediately love. We actually have to learn how to. Okay? I know growing up, I lived in a family that was not what they would call a broken family or anything like that, but it was definitely dysfunctional. If you meet my family now, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. My dad, by the way, he died lost, didn't know Christ. My dad never told us he loved us. It wasn't something we ever even contemplated. So it wasn't like, hey, you know, we're walking around, hey, I love you, Mom, and oh, I love you too, son, or I love you, Dad. It wasn't all the Leave It to Beaver kind of stuff, man. It was literally like we existed together. Now, did he demonstrate acts of love? Sure. He demonstrated acts of love. I mean, there was food on the table most nights. You know, there was some robbing Peter to pay Paul, so we had our power, you know, sometimes. But all in all, if I had to honestly look at my family life, I'd say it was seven individuals who were basically all self-centered and self-aware, but not really connected in that avenue. And I think that's the way it is in a lot of homes in America. But in the church, in Christ, man, he gave us this thing so we could actually learn that. And since I've been married to my wife, Eileen, I have absolutely learned how to love as a husband, how to love as a father, and how to be loved. Okay? And so these are the precepts that we learn. Okay? Is how to do all these things. How to be patient. That's a learned deal, man. Okay? If you've ever prayed to God for patience, shame on you. It's actually coming. But no, seriously, I mean, because our families, a lot of times, our wives especially, are those we kind of take for granted in the fact that we actually trust that they'll be there so we can actually treat them worse than we do other people. You might be sitting there going, yeah. I agree, and some saying no, and praise God if you're saying that. But I think a lot of times our expectations of them replace our patience. Okay? And so when that replaces our patience, it also replaces our forgiveness. That's another thing we got to learn, isn't it? Is forgiveness. As kids, it was real easy to forgive. We're out there. When I was a kid, we had what we called walnut wars. I lived in a poor neighborhood. So walnut wars were, there was a black walnut tree, and we had garbage can lids. And we were just chucking them at each other, okay? And you can get smacked right in the top of your head with one of those walnuts, and yes, that hurts a lot, and it probably explains a lot already. Because there were several times that you get smacked upside your head with a walnut, right? And you'd be mad. I mean, you're mad, and you're ready to throw down and really get in a fight with these guys, and the next day you're out there with walnuts and garbage can lids, right? So that's easy as a kid to be like, well, we don't understand forgiveness. We just know, hey, we were having fun, so let's go back out and have some more fun. This time I'm hitting you, okay? But in these relationships, especially in familial relationships, we learn all of these things. Patience, love, forgiveness, long-suffering. Put your own joke there. Long suffering. Especially when you have kids. I know Bud's been talking about his four kids. How old are they?
10, 8, 5, and 3.
Yeah.
I'm in great phase right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You are in a great phase.
That's the best.
Yeah. For about 3 years. Yeah, and then the teenagers hit. Yeah. But I know a lot of you can actually know that kids test every one of these to its limit. Okay? Any of you ever lost your patience with your kid?
No.
Has anybody heard of sarcasm? I just wanted to throw that out. Of course we have. Okay? Or even with our spouse or those kind of things. And one of the greatest biblical teachings, if we look back in James, which is our main text today, James chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 16 through 27. I'm sorry, just a little inside joke there. Okay. It says, do not be... Marshall, stop looking at me. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, we read this a lot of times. We'll look at this passage and we'll be like, okay, you know, be quick to hear. And it's great advice, right? I actually gave this advice to my boss. She was talking to me about some family issues she's having with a former daughter-in-law and the custody of the child and different things like that. And so we were talking, and I always get a chance to work in, obviously, Christ and God and talk to him about that. She's not a Christian in any way, shape, or form. And so I get an opportunity to say, well, you know, the scripture, when it talks about how we shouldn't immediately judge somebody, where they're coming from, we don't know what exactly is going on in their life. And I brought up the scripture, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to write. She had never heard it before. Ever. And I was like, wow, you know, that's because to us, it's kind of common, isn't it? We've heard this a lot. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Great advice, right? Because a lot of times we as people are reactionary, and that's something we actually have to learn to not be. Okay? And that's what I was talking about when we're talking about we learn patience and we learn all this stuff, is that we learn not to be reactionary, to blow up at the moment we hear something or something of that nature. Because we're always quick to hear, but a lot of times we're quick to speak. I remember hearing a comedian one time, he said he had ADHD. And I really think from listening to him, so do I. Okay? But he said, you know, a lot of times, man, I don't even know what I'm thinking until it comes out of my mouth. Well, a lot of us are like that. You know, a lot of people are like that. They don't know what they're saying until it actually comes out of their face because they react to a situation. Well, in the husband-wife relationship, man, you ain't got room. You better take your time. Okay? I'm going to just give you an example, and I'm actually going to blame this one on Marshall. Marshall gave a class, and he was talking about the husband-wife relationship just as a small piece of the class. It wasn't even the whole class. It was just a small piece. Well, my wife caught on to this. Okay? So he was talking about that, and he says, you know, you don't always get along. Kind of the same thing, you know, about how we take each other for granted sometimes. You just expect them to be there and stuff like that. We get on each other's nerves at times. And she heard that. We get on each other's nerves. Like she never knew we actually have gotten on each other's nerves, right? And so we go home, and the next day, this is like weighing on her. The next day, she comes into my office. My office isn't home. I work remotely right now. Sometimes I go into the office, but right now I work remotely. And so she comes into my office and says something about some kind of app or some website on her phone and says, so with what Marshall was talking about, she said, what annoys you the most about me? I was like, oh, Lord.
It's his recorder.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, when we first went, this wasn't in here, I said, Steve, we're recording this. He said, I guess not. I said, I can say what I want. No. But she was like, what is it that bugs you the most about me? I looked at her and I said, I said, this ain't happening. Delete the app, get off the website, whatever you're talking about. And so then this almost begins a discussion. Okay?
Almost?
Yeah, yeah, because I literally just kept not answering. For a discussion to be a full discussion, you have to have both sides willing to toss back and forth. Okay? And so she kept asking me this question. She said, no, why won't you tell me? I said, I didn't, you know, or why can't you tell me? She says, why can't you tell me? I said, I didn't say I could. I said, I wouldn't. And she said, why? I said, kidneys. I got brains. Okay? And there's a concept that we, you know, toss out there quite often, choose your battles. Okay? And that's part of that quick to hear kind of mentality. I mean, I just like she could have for me, I could have for her thrown out something that bothered me maybe in the last day or two or whatever, you know, and she could have back and forth, and that would have done nothing but stir up a little bit of strife and a little bit of problems, see, and would have actually ruined the whole concept of patience, of love, thinking no wrong, you know, all those things, because I reacted to a question. See, Satan tests us, doesn't he? Who does he use? Okay, I like Bud. Okay, I'm going to use Bud over here. I like you, Bud. Okay? The reason I like him is because if I don't remember his name, I can just say, hey, Bud, what's happening?
Bud.
And so that doesn't necessarily work with Joseph. Okay? But I like Bud, you know, and stuff like that. But if Bud and I don't really hang out, we're not really close. He lives down there in Savannah, Georgia, you know, and it's hot at midnight. When he lives down there and I live up here, there's no real test between him and I. But my wife, my kids, God uses those things, doesn't he? See, he doesn't just expect us to be married and be happy. He expects us to be married and love. And to test our faith, if you will, because he will use those who are the closest to you to try whether you're going to stay and stand on the standards of God. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because the anger doesn't solve anything. See, that's the premise of this lesson. Okay? Let's look at Colossians 3, 16 through 25. I went a little bit out of order here, so I hope this fits. You ever done that, guys? No? Lord. Man, am I in trouble? Okay, so Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 25. Just one second. Okay. And he tells the church here, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. And then he goes on and he says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who are merely pleased men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord of Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Why do you think Why do you think he was telling them this? Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husband, love your wife. He was telling us because this is the things we need to learn. Just like the ladies need to learn their role, the men need to learn their role. And oftentimes I've actually talked to my wife about this. How hard is it for a woman to be in subjection to a man who loves her and is looking out for her, and I mean loves her, and is looking out for her best interest, whether it be spiritual or not, and she understands that. Praise God, we've got Christian women. Okay? If you don't have a Christian woman, keep plugging away at her. You'll get there. Okay? But praise God, we have Christian women who hopefully have the very same purpose in their heart and mind that we have in ours, that they understand there are roles we play, and those roles may differ, but are absolutely vital to each other. That's another lesson we can learn, right? And so he tells them this, you know, wives be subject to your husbands, but husbands do what? Love your wives. Okay? Would not have known love if it wasn't for my wife. Honest truth. Okay? Because we didn't grow up in that kind of family. My dad didn't tell my mom he loved her, so we didn't hear that stuff. Okay? So, love from a father to his children. This actually gives us a view of God's perspective. Okay? So we actually, as men, you know, we're the heads of the house, right? I mean, we can technically say that in the scripture, we are the heads of the house, but hey, it's a joint kind of deal, right? But we can say we're the heads of the house. God put us over this so that we could do what? See things through his eyes. Man, if you see your family through God's eyes, you know who else you're going to see through God's eyes? Everyone else. Everyone else. Okay? When we read that in James 19 and 20, we read that about this quick to hear, slow to speak. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is another one of those passages about husbands and wives, right? That all of us husbands have memorized. And all of you single guys that are planning on getting married someday should memorize. Okay? Huh? I thought somebody said wrong. Never mind. All right, so in 1 Peter chapter 3, hold on, I'm in 2 Peter. I was like, wait a minute, that ain't the one, man. In the last day, mockers will come. I'm right up here with
the passage you opened up.
Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, in the same way, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. That's the guy. Yeah. Woman. Any of you ever said that? Woman.
Only once.
Once. Once. Alright. Okay. He says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, the former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will be not hindered. To sum up, I like this part, right? To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, in a technical sense, or even a binding sense, you might sit there and think, well, see, a beast is objection to me, and, you know, and do that kind of stuff, and listen away, call me Lord. Okay? If that works for you, let me know. Okay? But call me Lord. Kind of force them into a position. But do you think that fits into what he said about the husbands? To love your wives? To give them honor as a weaker vessel? To dwell with them with understanding? Good luck with that one, too. Okay? I'm going to give just a quick example of the understanding. Do you guys know anything? Does anybody in here? Now, wait a minute. Who owns the flower shop? All right. You know what I'm talking about. My wife bought grass. Okay? Not grass seed where you till up the ground. She bought a pot of blunt grass. And she said, I want to plant this. You know what I'm talking about, right? You guys have ever seen those in restaurants where they have really tall grass like this, but just in certain spots? That's planted grass. I said, why don't you just let me not mow? I'll give you a whole section of really tall grass. But I don't understand that. They have this innate thing in them to make things pretty. Guys don't necessarily. I mean, you do, obviously, because you got this great thing about a flower shop. I like flowers. I just don't ever think to go get them and plant them. Okay? To dwell with them with understanding, this is talking about understanding everything they do. Okay? Just actually appreciative of some of the stuff they do. Huh?
That explains a lot.
I
got a lot of tall grass on my property.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. See, you're just ahead of the game, man. You didn't have to buy it.
Okay.
But it's about appreciating the joy and the good things they bring into our lives. That's what that's about. It's not about I got to understand every motivation, because I don't understand shopping. I hate it. I literally at Christmas time will walk into a store, stand in the front door, and I'll look around and say, nope, nothing in here, and I'll walk out. That's me. My wife will walk through every rack in that store, whether it's, and she's buying for me, she'll go look at children's stuff. And then she'll go look at women's stuff. And then I'm the last section. Okay? I don't get it. But it's not talking about that. But she's out there trying to do something for someone. She's trying to buy something for me or for the kids or for whatever. Appreciating those things. It's not about definitely defined understanding of I know why she's doing this, because I don't know why she looks at everything. I can tell you exactly what she's going to like just by walking in and looking at the price tags. The more expensive one, she'll like that one. But it's about appreciating and understanding her, because if we can't appreciate the woman who is the closest to us, we can't appreciate anybody or any of the good that anybody does. We just can't. And so this, what we're talking about today is actually learning to overcome ourselves. Marriage is absolutely an exercise in selflessness. We can look at it in one of two ways, selfish or selfless. It's an absolute exercise in selflessness. That's what love is. Not reacting. Not getting angry. Not blowing off at every little thing. Okay? I'm not saying you can't ever be angry. There are times that I've gotten angry after I've been very quick to hear and slow to speak. Kind of builds. Okay? I'm not going to say that my wife's never been angry with me or can't get angry with one another, but you can also work that out. That's another learning process, isn't it? That we learn. Okay? And we oftentimes talk about compromise, and we talk about different things like that, but really it's all about learning to overcome mistakes and failures. Okay? I'd like to say that this group is filled with this room is filled with a group of spiritual men who may not always see eye to eye. Like we don't always see eye to eye with our wife. It's a lesson. It's a lesson in coming to an understanding. If you can't come to an understanding with your wife, you cannot come to an understanding with anybody else. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Might have an extra few minutes here for you, but this is our last passage that we're going to go to. Verses 1 through 11, it says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead, for the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. To the end, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Excuse me. Each one has received a special gift, employ it, serving in one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This starts at home. Okay? This starts in our house, in our family, with our kids, with our wife. Because guys, if we can't get it there, we never get it outside. It's really that simple. Think for a moment, reflect on what you've learned by being a father, a husband, and whatever else may come into that. Reflect on that for a minute. Because I know what I've learned from my family, from my wife, from my kids, is I've actually learned not only I can love and I can know what love is, but I can be loved. See, that's the biggest lesson for me. Because growing up, never had that. Never understood what it was. And so today, reflect on these things. We could have a million jokes about wives and husbands and do all that stuff, but honestly, guys, our wives, our families, are one of the greatest gifts God gave us. They really are. Because they teach us a lot. Thank you.